And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 13 and 14. In this extraordinary, fearful time in which we now live, nothing seems right. Everything is out of place. What was normal a short time ago is now fraught with danger. Our health, our families, our economic security are all at risk. Everything we have relied on seems to have evaporated, or at best locked away for the time being. As Pope Francis recently said, the storm exposes our vulnerability and uncovers those false and superfluous certainties around which we have constructed our daily schedules, our projects, our habits, and priorities. Pope Francis' Urbi et Orbi message, March 27, 2020. We are about to celebrate Easter, the Feast of Feasts, but where is the celebration? Churches around the world are closed, even St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. The best most are able to do is to live stream services and encourage the faithful to pray along in a virtual worship space. More and more, our lives are becoming circumscribed by the little screens we keep in front of our faces as we share our thoughts and our lives, not with the people we love, but with the animated digital images of them that we are fortunate to be able to conjure up on those screens. Still, whether virtually or in person, we must continue, as is our custom, to cry out to one another, "Christ is risen, indeed he is risen." He is here alongside us, greeting us as he did Mary Magdalene in the garden. We cannot see him, we do not recognize him. It is as if some virus has robbed us not only of our own lives, but of the presence of God in our lives as well. And so we must greet one another with our Easter proclamation, especially because right now we ourselves or those around us simply cannot see Jesus or feel his comforting presence. That is how faith works. It is spread from person to person, from heart to heart, by the testimony of our lives and the conviction in our voices. Mary wept because she could not find Jesus in the tomb, the familiar place where she had last encountered him. Mary despaired because she was looking for him where he was not. And so she also did not recognize him when she did see him. But if Mary had not gone to the tomb early that morning and seen the stone rolled away, she would not have reported what she did see to the apostles. If Peter and the other disciple had not gone to the tomb at her report, they would not have come away with the knowledge that Jesus had conquered death. Without that knowledge, they would not have become the apostles who testified to such a victory, and we would have nothing to celebrate. The Christian faith would never have appeared. The church would never have existed. There would be no such thing as Easter. But the church does exist, and she does celebrate Easter. Even with darkened churches and locked doors, the church does not keep Christ entombed, but proclaims all the more strongly, "Christ is risen, indeed he is risen." In our confusion and worry, our sickness, loss, and despair, it is we ourselves who must lift up our voices and share the good news of Christ's resurrection. Christ is risen and death has been swallowed up in victory. Christ is risen, hope has shone forth from the grave. Christ is risen and we find our doubt healed, our faith strengthened, and our hearts enlivened simply by sharing this proclamation among our friends, in our families, even virtually if need be. If only for our own sakes, we must share the joy of the resurrection with one another until our joy itself becomes viral, as it were, in the world we now inhabit. And this is how we must celebrate Easter in 2020. Like Mary, we may not recognize Jesus, especially if we are looking for him among the dead, in the lives we used to lead before, in the familiar places and habits that used to define who we were. But whether we recognize him or not, he is here. He is alive. He calls us by name. He has not abandoned us, and he never will. But he does ask us to go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. He asks us to share our Creator's love with one another and so to find new life and a new joy in the midst of so much suffering and loss. As Jesus ascends to his Father and our Father, to his God and our God, he does not go empty-handed. Rather, he bears each of us, broken as we are, on his own scourged and bloody shoulders in order to present us to the one who has called us out of nothingness into an eternity of peace and joy and everlasting life. God wants us to turn to him for consolation out of the comfort and security we once had known. Our faith must rise to this occasion, to the circumstances of our present pandemic. It must grow into something capable of sustaining us in our new reality. Our own faith will grow when we encourage one another's faith by greeting one another as we always have at this time of year, with Christ is risen. If we do so not out of custom or habit, but out of conviction and hope. As Mary could not hold on to the Jesus she had known, so we cannot hold on to the lives we have always known. To Golgotha we must go, bearing the cross of this pandemic with us. But where we are going is to the empty tomb, proof that death is not the end of the story. For you see, Christ is risen, and so are we. Your brother in Christ God, John Michael, Bishop, a sinner.